This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views conveyed by the guest on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information shared by the guests on this program are those of the guests and are for informational purposes only. They should not replace the medical advice of your veterinarian.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. In this episode, pet health and lifestyle contributor Monica Layton shares helpful recommendations for your pet's disaster preparedness kits and the critical importance of planning ahead. That's what's on our show, so let's get started.
Come here, babies. It's time for a treat. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves. Thank you for joining us today as we bring you the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the doggydiva.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to our annual Pet Disaster Preparedness Show. As we enter into the dreaded hurricane season here in Florida, we as pet parents recognize the importance of having our pets and our own disaster preparedness kits ready and on hand for not only hurricanes, but for all weather-related disasters. And with us today is Monica Layton to help us pet parents with our preparations and sharing the importance of planning ahead, like now. Hey, Monica, it's that time of year again, down on the Sun Coast, and it's actually going on throughout the country to start preparing for all those weather-related disasters. And I want to welcome you back for our, I'll just say 20 plus year disaster preparedness show. And Monica, as always, I love doing this with you because you give us the best information, the most helpful information.
Thank you.
Now, can you just share with our listeners the importance, and I started out kind of the show this way, of the importance of planning ahead?
Absolutely. I mean, in my opinion, planning ahead is what literally helps me stay sane during the stressful, you know, time when these storms do hit, because I know that I have everything I need. I know what we're going to do if the weather takes a turn for the worst and we have to leave. I know where I'm going to go. So planning ahead is the key to being able to kind of react and not get into a situation to where fear sets in, you're overwhelmed, or you're not quite sure, you know, something's shifted or changed and your situation changed and you're not quite sure where to go or what to do. So planning ahead, not only does it aid in the safety of you and your entire family, but it also kind of adds a little bit of just relief, and it just gives a little, it takes away a little bit of the anxiety people have when these storms approach.
Now, and you had mentioned this, like if you're prepared to, you know, if you're asked to leave or if you have to leave, what happens, like if we are asked to evacuate or if we decide, if we're not in an evacuation zone, but we decide to stay or we decide to go to a shelter? What is your advice on that? And how do we, again, how do we prepare for this?
you know, when you, you know, no matter what area you're in, usually there is a typical allotment of the types of storms you have. And that can differ from region to region and coast to coast. But, you know, like here in Florida, for example, you know, we're gearing up for hurricane season. And one of the things I do immediately is, you know, where are you located? You know, for the disaster that you're preparing for, and using hurricanes as an example, like, am I in an area that is going to flood? Am I going to anticipate being able to get out of my house safely? So can I stay home? Do I need to evacuate? And if I do stay home and then they tell us we have to evacuate later, am I going to be ready to go? Am I going to have everything that I need? So doing planning for all of that, it will really cover everything and get everything you need in place. So first, I would say if your plan is, I don't want to be in the area, I want to evacuate. First is if you travel anywhere with your pet, always making sure in advance that your pets are up to date on their shots. They have their tag, they have their paperwork. So if you go somewhere, you're not going to have an issue getting in with your pet. And know the area that you're going to go to. You know, if you're going to go stay with a relative and, you know, a couple counties away, or you're going to stay at a hotel, or you're going to, you know, go to a shelter, check and see what's out there. Specifically like the shelters, for example. If you know that, you know, when a storm comes, you're going to head to the shelter, you know, check the area around you, check and see which shelters are pet friendly, which should be, you know, available on your county's website. But know all the shelters do not open all at once. You know, it's not like a storm's coming, we're going to open them all. They open in differing locations throughout the county. And they start, you know, with one each. And then as soon as that shelter fills, then they open another one. So you may not have something, you know, real close to you. The closest shelter may not necessarily be the shelter you end up going to, because it all depends on what the capacity is and, you know, when you decide to evacuate and what's open at that time. So definitely have everything ready. Know the routes that you're going to go to and let people know where you're going to go. If you're going to go to a certain, you know, city or area, have a backup, like know what hotels are pet friendly. Know what your options are. Check ahead. Is there, you know, a vet or a kennel or anything in that area that would take the pets if, you know, something happened and maybe the hotel has damage, or, you know, if there's ever any place that you have to go, always check around, know your resources, know what's in that area, and let somebody know where you're going to go and where you're going to be. Because anybody who's been through hurricanes and disasters, power goes off, things get damaged, you know, hurricanes, tornadoes, cell towers go down, and you may not have service. And if somebody knows where you're going to go and you don't get from point A to point B, then at least somebody knows, hey, this was their plan. They were leaving here. They were going to end up here. They were going to get there, you know, going this way. So at least they can, I be able to talk to law enforcement or aid and be able to find you quicker. So always like kind of having somebody outside of the area that knows where you're going to go, somebody that's going to check up on you. So that way, if something does happen, then a lot of time is not going by and people are wondering, you know, if you're okay or if you're not okay. So definitely taking care of knowing your resources, making your plan as far as where you're going to go, what you're going to do, and then share it with a friend. And then on top of that, you know, if you decide that you are going to stay at home, if it comes down to that home suddenly becoming unsafe, or, you know, police coming down the road and saying, sorry, you know, you're now in an evacuation area, you have to leave. They don't give you a lot of time for that. During disasters, when they tell you you have to go, like you have to go. You don't have time to stop and pack and come up with a plan at that point. So even if you're saying, you know what, I've been in this house through countless hurricanes over the years, never had an issue, I'm going to stay at home. Always just know that if something were to happen and you had to leave or you were made to leave, that you do know where you're going to go. At least check your surrounding areas and see what your options are just as a backup. And, you know, we'll get into your kit and things like that. But if you do stay at home, then it's coming up with not only supplies, but what is the game plan? When the storm is rough, are my pets going to be able to go outside? Is the noise from the wind and the rain and, you know, whatever else is going on, you know, trees falling, you know, things like that. They can startle a pet. Do I need something for my pet to give them to calm them down? It's all things that as we get through and talk about the kit, we'll get into a little more on. But it's coming up with those solutions. So thinking about, okay, what if we're without electricity? What if we have damage to our home? What if, you know, a window breaks or what, you know what I mean? It's just kind of normal things that can occur while you're riding out a storm in your home are definitely things to consider having a backup plan for. So that way you're ready. For example, I had clients that stayed at home and they had a window break and they had cats. And of course, you know, the sound is, it's loud. Animals get scared. And so we talk about, you know, having a safe room within the house. Because if you have animals that are loose during a storm and something happens to your home or to your area, you never know when, you know, a tree could fall, you could have damage to the home, and that could leave an opening for a pet who's very scared, who there's all these noises and kind of feeding off anxiety from everybody at that point, that a cat that would normally not, you know, want to jump through a window, we'll jump through a window. You know what I mean? If they have an opportunity to flee and run and hide and seek shelter, they're going to do that. So it's kind of, you know, coming up with a safe area within your home, making sure that you have everything you need in that area, not only just to keep your pets safe and contained, but also for yourself. If we do have tornadoes or things like that where structure is an issue, you know, make sure that you include your pets in the safe room. And even though it may not seem like a huge storm or, you know, a huge situation, maybe it's kind of minor in comparison to other ones, always, you know, have them ready and in that safe location, because God forbid something happens, even if the slightest of storms come through, you never know when there's a weak tree limb or something can kind of projectile through the air with a decent amount of wind. And you never know when a situation is going to happen to where your home or your shelter can become compromised. And the last thing you want is to lose a pet in a bad storm. So always, you know, making sure you have a safe area, make sure that pet is contained in that safe area before the weather starts getting bad, keeping them secure. And then of course, coming up with ways to keep them comfortable. Like if you have, you know, a time without electricity, if you have those kind of bronchial dogs or cats, you know, the ones with the smushy faces that don't breathe really well, you know, having battery operated fans or some kind of backup air so they're getting good airflow when you don't have air conditioning during that time. You know, just kind of like thinking about the types of needs that your pets have in your family and what you would do if you didn't have access to electricity for days sometimes. I mean, in our house, it seems like every major hurricane that has come through, we're without electricity for bare minimum 3-4 days. And, you know, I have pugs. So of course, hot summer months here in Florida, and then you have no air conditioning after a storm, we usually get a lot of flooding. So oftentimes, if we choose to stay at home, you're not always able to get out if you make that choice because of flooding. So it's not like you can go someplace else when the electricity goes off and the storm is passed. If you're flooded in, you're flooded in. You could have damage down the road and the roads may not be passable. So making sure that, you know, not only do you have everything in your kit, but you kind of think about these situations. And if your pet does have any needs that would, you know, need to be adapted to without, you know, electricity and being able to freely get in the car and leave with them if needed. So it's all stuff to consider and make a plan for. You don't want to bring your pets out in the storm, obviously, to walk them if it's heavy wind and it's bad weather and it's unsafe. So a lot of people, you know, put like those kiddie pools. They'll get those kiddie pools, the plastic ones, and fill them up with sod, and you can put them in your garage. And so that way there's a decent size little potty patch that your pets can go on. You can, some pets will go on pee pads, some won't. So of course, you know, getting pee pads, but if they won't, you have that little option where you have a nice little area with the sod and everything gets contained in that little pool area. Those kiddie pools are fairly cheap. You can usually get them Walmart, wherever, low cost. So it's a low cost, you know, hack that can kind of get you through the storm. And you just rinse it out, you know, afterwards and store it for the next storm. And, you know, you have a place for your pets to be able to go go to the bathroom, you know, when it's unsafe to do so outside. But definitely being prepared is a lot of things, you know, making sure that not only your family is safe, you know where you're going to go, you know what you're going to do if you evacuate, if you don't evacuate, just putting it all together and just sitting down and kind of going through it as a family. You know, if you do have to leave abruptly, do you have multiple pets? Do you have multiple kids? That's a whole lot to wrangle together at one time. So making sure that, you know, you have everything in advance and, you know, who's in charge of who and who's going to get the dogs and the cats. You know what I mean? You can dwell it out, you know, give each kid a task. That way they know when it comes down to we got to leave, then everybody knows what they're going to do, where they're going to go, and what they need to have ready. That way you guys have discussed it and there's no, you know, confusion during that time that's stressful enough. So next we're going to get into our kit and kind of go over everything we need with that, which is going to go hand in hand with having our plan.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing how important it is to plan ahead and being prepared. I mean, you and I have both lived through this and been kind of victims of these hurricanes here. So why don't we take a quick break? And then when we come back, we'll talk about our pet disaster preparedness kit. So we'll be back in just a minute.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Hello, everyone. Susan Marie here to tell you about the award-winning 3-book series, The Doggy Diva Diaries. It is a trilogy of heartwarming and inspirational stories about Miss Olive, a lonely little rescue pup, hoping to find her forever family and friends and a life filled with love. In this series, Miss Olive learns that it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, it's the kindness and love you have on the inside that counts. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers. And please visit us at thedoggydiva.com for more information. Thank you, everyone. Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. We're talking with Monica Layton on her recommendations on what should go into your pet's disaster preparedness kit. And this is so important, Monica.
It is. I mean, if you stay home, if you evacuate, no matter what the situation is, you need to have your supply kit. It needs to be ready. And that way you're covered no matter what. So getting started on your kit. Very, very first thing, making sure you have a crate or carrier that is large enough for your pet to stay in. Make sure it's large enough for them to kind of turn around. For cat carriers, making sure it's large enough for some place for the cat to lay, but to also have a small litter box inside. They can, there's an opportunity to where they may be in that carrier for a good amount of time, you know, depending on how long the storm is, or if you're evacuating somewhere and you're needing to drive a good distance. So definitely making sure that that carrier is big enough for them to be able to be in for a decent amount of time and get whatever they need inside there, i.e. a litter box or, you know, a water dish, things of that nature. So once you have your carrier, of course, your pet needs to have their identification. So, so vitally important. I always tell people, you know, make sure that you have photos of your pets. And I know it sounds odd sometimes when you talk about multiple photos, but there's a lot of dogs that go out and get groomed. And I could tell you, I have one of them, my little Yorkie. When she's long and fuzzy, she almost looks like a different dog than when she has her summer puppy cuts. So if your dog is like that, I suggest having more than one pick, like a pick when their hair is grown out and a pick when they're just groomed, because you don't know which one they're going to have when they go missing. And, you know, you don't want to have a photo out there with their, for some reason you become separated from your pet and you need to, you know, make posts or, you know, show people what your pet looks like to try to get them home. The last thing you want is a picture of a pet that's like 10 years old and your pet looks completely different now. So always make sure you have multiple, you know, multiple pictures of the pet, and especially haircutting times and things of that nature. So that way, if you are ever separated, then you have that. You can put it, you know, with the crate and carrier. If you do go to a pet-friendly shelter, some of the shelters are set up to where you stay with your pet, and others are set up to where your pets stay in a different area. Some you go and walk the pet yourself, and some they actually have volunteers that can help do that. So having pictures of your pet that can go right with them and their stuff, having, you know, kind of a little identification form filled out with your basic information, your vet's information, a copy of their vaccine history and their rabies tag. That way you won't have any issues getting into any place. Basic identification and emergency contact, all of that kind of written out, as well as instructions on how to care for that pet. Because again, if you go someplace to where there's a possibility that you may not be the one taking care of that pet, if they're in a different section from you, or, you know, if you go traveling someplace else to a hotel, whatever, you know, if anything happens, it's always safer for the pet, for anybody who has to take care of them, to know about that animal. You know, if your pet is scared of certain things, put it on there. Or maybe your pet really does not like people touching his ears. Jot that down. Just the big important things to where if somebody were to handle your dog in an emergency situation, what they would need to know for them and your pet to remain safe are vital. So important. So definitely having that all in your kit. I would suggest putting it inside a big Ziploc bag or doing like a quick lamination sheet or something. But getting that all together is super important. Again, your vet's info and an emergency contact, super important. That way, if something, God forbid, does happen to you, then they have somebody to contact that would be able to care for your pet when you're not able to. And then, of course, the identification for your pet. So I always recommend, you know, not only having their rabies tag on there, but having an identification tag. Having a microchip is so, so, so important. So many pets are separated, and as prepared as we get, you never know what's going to happen. Pets slip out of collars, harnesses break. A microchip is by far the easiest way to identify a pet and get them back to the owner. Microchips are so inexpensive these days. You can get them done anywhere, you know, at vet's offices. Most pet stores have the vet days that they do the microchipping. I literally saw a sign as I was driving home yesterday in front of our neighborhood Publix there, and it's, you know, storm season preparation, and they were offering pet vaccines and microchips for discounted rates. Humane societies often do microchipping days. So there's options out there, and generally, you know, you're in the $30, $40 range for the majority of places to get your pet microchipped and registered. And once they are registered, making sure you keep up with that information, making sure that, you know, you are checking to see what address, what phone number, what emergency contact you have on there, because those change. Maybe you've changed phone numbers, or maybe your emergency contact has changed numbers over the years. You know, new cell phone plans, new numbers. Those things happen. Maybe you've moved and, you know, forgot about updating the microchip address. So it's always good, you know, as you get into these storm seasons, going through your kit and making sure that everything that you have in there is still up to date and valid. So that way, if for some reason you are separated from the pet and they are scanned, then they can get back to you quickly. And microchipping is so, so important. And generally, when they do the microchip, they also give you a little ID tag that can go on their collar that has their microchip ID number. So that's a great thing to have, you know, as well. But nothing beats an ID tag with their home address and home phone number as well. Because if somebody, you know, in your neighborhood, your pet gets out, they happen to see the pet, if they're close to you It's a very fast way for somebody to look at it and be like, oh, they just live right down the road and they may be willing to bring her back home before the dog gets too far or before having to wait and contacting animal services or contacting a vet or trying to get a hold of people. So definitely making sure that your pet is microchipped, that your microchip information is up to date, making sure they have a collar or harness, making sure that they have all of the information up to date with their rabies tags and their vaccine records for each and every pet, including our cats. I know not all cats like to wear collars all the time, but making sure that we have them and they are wearing them while we prepared for these storms is an absolute necessity. When you get into additional things for your kit, we're talking about a couple weeks supply of our pet's medications. I would say very easily, bare minimum, 3 weeks. Again, talking to your vet, if your pet may need some sedatives or they frighten easily, storm noises, things like that may upset them. So talking to your vet or getting some kind of supplements, there's a lot of those that you can get over the counter as well. They have, you know, the little jackets that you can get for anxiety and storms. There's a lot of things you can do out there. Kind of give them a try, see how it does. So when the pet is excited, then they have something to kind of calm them down and soothe them.
I have one for myself too, by the way.
Yes. Yes. We all need those.
We all need our own little shirt.
I always call them, you know, the little jackets that they have. I believe your dogs have those.
Thundershirts.
Yes, thundershirts.
They all have
that, yeah. It's their heavyweighted anxiety blanket type of mm-hmm. thing.
Might each have one with their name on it. So, yep.
Oh, yes. And things like that work great. So, you know, definitely making sure that, you know, your pet has something. So if they become frightened easier, then they can kind of, you know, have that anxiety, you know, aided a little bit. So they're not so anxious. But again, for our kitties, the disposable litter boxes, things that I've found that work well, they sell the disposable ones that you can get. But they also, you know, you can use little shirt boxes, you know, that you would put like shirts in and, you know, having some litter in there and just really big Ziploc bags. So that way, if you're in a situation to where you're in a shelter or you are visiting a friend and staying in the home and the pet's kind of contained, there's no AC maybe, whatever the situation, you can kind of contain the smells. So if you get the larger Ziploc bags and you use those kind of disposable shirt boxes with some litter in there, you can put the whole thing into a Ziploc bag, zip it up. And then for the smells are contained. Works great that way. You know, nobody wants to sit in a home with no AC after the power's been off for multiple days and, you know, have a lot of stinky stuff sitting around. But definitely an option if you do scoopable stuff, making sure you have an extra scoop, things of that nature. Of course, extra cat litter. And you never know when things are going to get wet. So, you know, always having these in rubber, watertight, you know, Rubbermaid containers with good sealing lids. Always, of course, besides our large Ziploc bags to kind of store things in and keep things kind of scent contained and waterproofing them in the Ziploc bags, you know, little plastic baggies, paper towels, any basic cleaning supplies that you're going to need, you know, to kind of clean up after your pet, especially if you're, you know, on the road or traveling, you know, to kind of get out of the area. Dog has an accident while you're traveling, you know, definitely want to have stuff handy to be able to clean that up. Of course, a 3-week supply of food for each pet. If your pet is a canned food eater, making sure that you have like a manual can opener. Even if you stay at home, make sure you have your kit and have your manual can opener. Because if you are without power, you're certainly not going to use the power ones. I found like these great little ones on Amazon that are small, kind of the size of your hand, and they run on batteries. And it just kind of zips around the edge of the can, you know, and they're nice, really inexpensive. But those have come in really handy. I have those in all of my dog stuff. Of course, food and water bowls for each pet. And if you're without electricity or you're having to go to a shelter, water bowls can kind of get slimy and dirty. So, you know, having some disposable kind of bowls, even like the papery ones that you can put liquids in that are going to hold it, styrofoam, whatever you choose. But, you know, having some kind of little disposable bowls are also kind of good to have, as well as your pet's water bowl, or having, you know, making sure you have cleaners that you can kind of wash it out in between. The supply of drinking water for each pet, toys, blankets, anything that your pet is that will bring them comfort, smells from home, smells of you. Again, if you, you know, have to go to a shelter or someplace and you are separated from your pet, you know, having something with your scent on it, with familiar scents, can often calm them down and kind of aid in relieving some of the anxiety as well. So toys, blankets, things like that of home that will kind of bring them some peace and, you know, kind of normalcy into a situation that's not so normal for them. Towels, of course, a lot of storms can get very, very wet. So, you know, being able to have extra towels in there to where, you know, you can dry your pets up, some basic grooming items. If you get into situations where there's flooding, things come up, especially dogs with longer hair, things can get matted very quickly. So just basic grooming items, you know, knots, shrubs, and, you know, they're picking up stuff in the grass. If they're having to walk through water, things of that nature, you can get junk stuck through, you know, their leg hairs. So being able to have just basic grooming items, brush, scissor, things like that. That way, if you have to remove any kind of knots or stuff stuck in their hair, that you can do so and keep them clean and comfortable. Of course, you know, we talked about the detailed instructions for your animal cares, for, you know, rescue workers, the copy of the emergency numbers. We talked about all that, but flashlights, batteries, things of that nature. It's great to have small ones that you can possibly like attach to your leashes and stuff too. Even better if you have some kind of reflective collar or leash for your pet, or they have the little clip-ons that you can get that clip onto your pet's collar. If their collar and leash is not reflective, that'll, you know, shine a little light. Things that can kind of identify them, especially when you get into situations where, you know, you're without electricity, or, you know, it is very dark out because of the storm coming through. You definitely want people to be able to see you and your pet if you are out and about trying to get to safety, or you are trying to get from one place to another in the storm, is making sure that you can be seen, your pet can be seen, and that you remain safe. So definitely, you know, flashlight, extra batteries, something reflective on your pet, on you, to make sure that, you know, you're easily seen. And you try to do all this stuff so your pet does remain safe and you remain safe, but you never know. Things happen. And when these storms come through, stuff is blown all over the place. You never know when a pet's going to step on something, or, you know, maybe a tree branch falls, and things happen. And as much as you plan, things can occur. So always being ready with a basic pet first aid kit to help in any of those unexpected situations. Because if you, you know, you're in your home or something happens to the home and something happens to the pet and you're flooded in, or you can't get anywhere, or you're in a shelter and you know you can't leave because of the storm, you want to make sure you have basic first aid items to kind of keep your pet and do as much for your pet as you can on your own until it is safe to get them to a veterinarian. So things like basic bandaging materials, antiseptic, alcohol, of course, gloves, keep things clean always, tweezers, you know, if your pet gets something stuck in their foot, or God forbid, a window breaks, glass, things could go flying, just basic things that can help you render first aid. And gauze, I personally, they have betadine, which is really great for antifungal, antibacterial properties to kind of clean wounds. And they have a clear spray version that I got for my pet's kits recently, because pets are not great with you dabbing a lot of stuff. So you can spray it right on after you get it clean to kind of give some antiseptic help to that. So definitely things that you can do on your own to keep, you know, small wounds and things like that cleaned up until you can get to a veterinarian. And certainly last but not least, regarding the pet first aid kit, you could have a pet that has never been aggressive, that would never bite anybody in a million years. But if a pet gets hurt and they're in pain, pets can bite when you would never expect a pet to bite. It's nothing to do with, you know, my pet's not aggressive. It's being safe and being able to care for the pet. And sometimes, you know, having a muzzle, whether you will ever use it or not, is so important, because if you get in a situation to where your pet is in a lot of pain and it's up to you to kind of render first aid until you can get to a veterinarian, you don't want to not be able to help the pet because they are in so much pain that they are biting and getting aggressive. So having a muzzle for your pet just as a precaution to kind of aid in being able to care for your pet and do things to an injured pet is always, always top of the list necessary. So making sure that all of those items are in a container, something that you can grab easily, something that is going to stay water resistant, you know, an airtight, you know, Rubbermaid tub. If you're in an area that has a lot of flooding, they have these small little baby tub inserts. And if you have to, you know, kind of get through a watered area and you're, you know, you've got all this stuff or you're trying to get to a vehicle, you can put something like that around the bottom and blow it up so it would float. You can put a pet carrier inside of those too, and they're great. I mean, I got one at Target and it literally is just made for the bathtub, and it's made for infant to toddlers that once they're sitting up on their own and everything and they don't need a small little baby bath that they go inside of, it's kind of just a rubber bumper, you know, to kind of give them a little safety against a hard tub. But that rubber bumper is the perfect size to kind of blow up and keep around, you know, a large pet carrier or your disaster supply if there is a flooding situation, to kind of keep the water off the bottom area and help it float. Because if you're trying to get yourself to safety and your pets to safety, that takes a lot of energy and a lot of excess energy. You're getting tired, you're treading water, and then your pets are getting tired. You know, I always recommend that if you have dogs that are going to be leash walked, that are not going to go in a little carrier all the time, have a life vest for them. Something that if they do have to possibly tread water for any amount of time, that they don't tire out from exhaustion and then run into problems. You know, it will definitely aid in giving them longevity of being able to tread longer for a longer period of time. So all great supplies for your supply kit. All things that can, you know, kind of go into the box and be taken with you at a moment's notice, you know, having them all ready, check them throughout the year, kind of swap out the food. I always tell clients, whenever I buy a big bag of pet food for my pets, you know, I have a container that I dump it all into and I'll literally just swap it around. So it's kind of like my routine. I'll go into the garage, I'll open the disaster kit, I'll pull out the bag that's in there, put the new bag in, and then I'll take the bag that was in the kit and dump it into the canister in the kitchen. So that way you're always rotating it out. You're not getting old expired stuff that you might have put in there a year ago and know what kind of situation it is in a year later. So always rotating it out, the same way with the medications. Medications do expire after a while. So make sure that you're rotating these things out to that they are good, they are in good shape, kind of checking it over at the beginning of the season, of course. Oh, did I use this stuff throughout the year? I've gotten in situations at home where I'm like, oh my gosh, we're out of Band-Aids or I'm out of gauze. Like my daughter is, she cuts herself and we're out of Band-Aids. And I'm like, oh, I got stuff in the supply kit. You know what I mean? So it's always a great little backup when you're out of things too, but then just going in and checking it and replacing the items that, you know, you may have pulled out of, you know, at different times and making sure they are freshened and restocked. But if everybody can kind of get their kit together, have everything they need ready, come up with their plan, then you can ride out the storm. You will have the ease of knowing that you're ready for whatever situation comes your way. Everybody can stay safe. It's less anxiety on you and your family than, you know, struggling around at the last minute trying to kind of figure out what's going on and where the pets are going to go and what's needed. So get it done. Get it all ready. Be all ready for the storm seasons or whatever heads your way. And then you know that you've got it covered and you're ready to go and you and your pets can be as safe as possible during that time.
And Monica, I want to thank you. As always, you gave us such great information. These were wonderful tips. I certainly hope that it's helped people. And, you know, and I want to thank you because it's so timely and it's so important. We're going into the season. And I know a number of people last year did thank me. And I'm sure they thank you for doing this because it was, we had a really bad year last year. They're predicting this year. So we're all ready. We've got our kits ready. I hope that all of you do. And I want to thank you for giving us information, not only to prepare, but also what to have on hand. So the key is to be prepared. And I know that you are, and I hope that you and Haley and all of your fur kids are safe during this hurricane season. And to our listeners, Monica and I hope that these valuable recommendations and this information has helped, and that you and your beloved pets stay safe. And please remember, the key to everything is to plan ahead, because we never know when disaster is going to hit. So I thank you very much. And thank you so much, Monica. Your information is so valuable. And I truly appreciate your being on to share this with everyone. And I certainly hope this helped. Stay safe, everyone. We'll be back in just a moment.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand only from Pet Life Radio.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Doggy Diva Show. To find out more about Susan Marie and the Doggy Divas, visit them at their website, thedoggydiva.com, and on Facebook at the Doggy Diva Show. Tell your fellow pet parents about it. We look forward to having you join us again for the next episode. See you soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.